Welcome to Falun Gong News Direct from China and around the world, from the Minghui website. This week's top stories include over 60,000 people file criminal complaints against Jiang Zemin, calling for freedom on Independence Day, how a young Polish woman brought hope and courage to China, Adelaide, Australia, public forum on China's killing of Falun Gong for their organs, and newly released Sichuan practitioner recounts brutal torture in prison. Now for the stories.
Over 60,000 people file criminal complaints against Jiang Zemin. More than 60,000 Falun Gong practitioners and their family members have filed criminal complaints against Jiang Zemin, former head of the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, between the end of May and July 9, 2015. They are urging the Supreme People's Procuratorate and the Supreme People's Court to bring Jiang to justice for orchestrating the violent suppression of Falun Gong in China. The complaints charge Jiang with unlawful imprisonment, depriving citizens of their constitutional right to freedom of belief, abuse of power, and many other crimes. Jiang initiated the persecution of Falun Gong on July 20, 1999, and created the 610 office, giving it the power to override the police and judicial system to carry out his directive. Over the past 16 years, more than 3,800 Falun Gong practitioners have been confirmed tortured to death. The actual toll is most likely higher because such information is tightly censored in China. In total, copies of over 48,000 complaints have been submitted to the Minghui website since the end of May. Since the beginning of July, all mail destined for the Supreme People's Procuratorate and the Supreme People's Court have been subjected to security checks, and processing of the mail has slowed down. Among the 14,000 complaints mailed during the past week, about half have been delivered, as confirmed by the courier company or delivery signatures. Tracking information indicates that many envelopes remained in the Beijing Postal Express sorting center for a so-called security check. Falun Gong practitioners are filing complaints by other means, including the internet, electronic delivery, voicemail, and fax. Practitioners have also filed complaints using the official court websites. Some practitioners have filed complaints via telephone and fax numbers provided, and others have filed their complaints in person. Wave of lawsuits against Jiang is gaining awareness. Falun Gong practitioners recently held rallies in San Francisco, Houston, and Washington, D.C. in the United States, Montreal, Canada, and in Denmark and Australia to support those taking legal action against Jiang. The Australian Associated Press carried a report on July 7th about Falun Gong practitioners in Brisbane filing complaints against Jiang, including more than 30 practitioners in Sydney who had been persecuted in China for their belief. The report was republished by most mainstream media in Australia and made a stir. In China, practitioners are spreading the news about the lawsuits against Jiang by putting up stickers, banners, and posters in public places, and by collecting signatures to support the movement. Practitioners have received encouragement from the public for their efforts. One person said, "A public trial of Jiang, I've been waiting for that day for a long time. Jiang must be brought to justice." Another echoed, "Jiang must be brought to justice. We'll celebrate with a parade and drums." Calling for freedom on Independence Day. All over the country, Falun Dafa practitioners participated in Independence Day parades. Today we highlight the parade in Philadelphia, the birthplace of the Declaration of Independence, and the Bristol Parade in Rhode Island, the oldest Independence Day parade in the U.S. We also take a look at two parades on the West Coast, in San Diego, California, and Everett, Washington. Philadelphia. They are fantastic. While Falun Dafa is violently suppressed in China, its home country, practitioners in the land of the free, continue to fight for their fellow practitioners. On Independence Day, practitioners want to remind people from Benjamin Franklin's hometown that millions of Chinese continue to suffer under a lack of freedom and basic human rights. More than 100 groups, totaling 6,000 participants, marched in the parade starting from Independence Hall in the morning. Falun Dafa's waist drum team, dressed in bright yellow, traditional Chinese costumes, drew attention in the parade. They have been invited to perform in this parade for 15 years in a row. Beth, a resident of Philadelphia, applauded Falun Dafa. They are fantastic. They should lead the parade. Everybody has genuine smiles. The drum playing touches me, she said. We should let everybody know about the persecution of Falun Dafa in China. It must be stopped. Practitioners also attended events after the parade on Benjamin Franklin Avenue, where they introduced the ancient Chinese cultivation practice to the public, demonstrated the Falun Dafa exercises, and performed traditional Chinese dances. Bristol, Rhode Island, the oldest 4th of July celebration. At the 230th 4th of July celebration this year, the Falun Dafa Association of Rhode Island was again invited to participate in the parade. The team consisted of over 20 Falun Dafa practitioners from Rhode Island and Massachusetts. The march began with banners that read Truthfulness, Compassion, Forbearance. Falun Dafa in Rhode Island and Falun Dafa is good. 10 practitioners dressed as celestial maidens followed the banners, holding delicate flowers and handcrafted by practitioners. The march was accompanied by the Falun Dafa music of Purdue and Jishi. The Rhode Island parade route stretched 2.5 miles long and attracted around 100,000 spectators. Many of the participants come from other states and even other countries. Falun Dafa practitioners were the only Chinese group in the parade. When practitioners passed by the main stage, the speaker briefly introduced Falun Dafa as a traditional meditation practice based on the principles of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance. He also mentioned that it is banned and harshly persecuted in China. San Diego, they are beautiful. The Falun Dafa float in San Diego won the second place in the Coronado Parade this year. Falun Dafa has won awards almost every year since they began participating in 2004. The Coronado 4th of July Parade is one of the oldest in the country, with a history of 130 years. About 50,000 people watch it every year. The Falun Dafa float featured lotus flowers and practitioners dressed as celestial maidens who demonstrated Dafa exercises. Mr. Xuan, an elderly Chinese immigrant, watched the parade with his family. I love seeing Falun Gong participate every year. They are beautiful. I'm glad to see a Chinese group in the parade. I hope they continue to come, he said. Everett, Washington. Their drum playing radiates positive energy. More than 20,000 people enjoyed practitioners' waist drum performance in Everett, Washington. Most practitioners in the parade came from Seattle. Ms. Lee, who had just come from China a month ago, could not hold back her tears when she saw such a large Chinese group in the parade. You cannot see such a beautiful performance in China. Their drum playing radiates positive energy, Ms. Lee said, and they are being tortured in China. But here they can freely practice their belief. I'm glad for them. I'm also proud of the American people who value freedom and human rights. Ms. Lee followed the Falun Dafa group for more than half of the parade. She said, I hope all the overseas Falun Dafa practitioners will keep up their belief and spread the spirit of truthfulness, compassion, forbearance to the whole world. I also wish that someday in the near future, people inside China will be able to enjoy Falun Gong's performance.
How a young Polish woman brought hope and courage to China. A Falun Gong practitioner named Maria has had an extraordinary journey since she took up the practice more than 15 years ago. Maria is originally from Poland, and she is one of the Westerners who went to Tiananmen Square to stage a peaceful protest after the persecution began in July 1999. In February 2002, Maria visited Shanghai and other cities of China before finally arriving in Beijing. Everywhere she went, she distributed Falun Gong pamphlets and tried to tell the Chinese people what Falun Gong is really about. Maria was arrested on February 14th on the way to Tiananmen Square. While she was detained, she told the police officers, "Truthfulness, compassion, forbearance will not compromise with evil." Before her trip to China, Maria joined the SOS Walk in Europe to raise awareness of the persecution. Over the course of 11 days, she walked 300 miles and had a chance to tell the Polish president about the persecution of Falun Gong. The president promised Maria that he would fully support Falun Gong practitioners and urge the Chinese communist regime to stop the persecution. After returning to China, Maria flew to Rome on May 14, 2002. She was granted a private audience with Pope John Paul II. During the brief meeting, Maria gave the Pope a copy of Falun Gong's main book, Juan Falun, and told him about the persecution. The Pope offered a blessing for Falun Dafa around the world. When she recalled how she found Falun Gong, Maria began to tear up. She was a student at Harvard University. "One day, I came across a poster with a picture of people meditating. They looked so serene," she said. "I appreciated that it was free. The first time I did the exercises, I felt such a powerful energy that I knew I found it, the true master and the true teaching." Maria feels that the most beautiful thing about practicing Falun Gong is gaining inner peace, but what moved her the most is that she learned that the practice was persecuted in China. "I heard this story that Jiang Zemin said that truth, compassion, and tolerance are not in accordance with the Chinese Communist Party, CCP, therefore they're illegal. I figured, how is that possible? My parents and grandparents have taught me those moral values. So I started finding out more about it, and I heard this story of a man, an old Chinese man, who traveled thousands of miles. He traveled to Beijing to tell the world that Falun Dafa is good. He had a bag of worn-out shoes. That's what inspired me to travel the world and tell people that Falun Dafa is good." Before being arrested in China, Maria had wonderful experiences talking to Chinese about Falun Gong there. "I remember I was in Nanjing for the Chinese New Year's Day in a park. The park was evergreen, but everything was so gray because of the pollution. There was what was supposed to be a river, but it was really flowing trash. There was a concrete lotus flower by the river in a park. I sat there in full lotus, meditating. Chinese people were so moved by it, I actually became a tourist attraction. People would put children on my legs, and we would all do meditation and take pictures. People would tell me stories of how they practiced Falun Gong. I would tell them that all over the world, Falun Dafa is honored and cherished, and it's only in China that it is persecuted. I told them it's actually not true that the rest of the world has eradicated Falun Dafa. It gave them so much courage. A man came up to me and said, 'My wife is a Communist Party member, so she cannot listen. She put earphones in her ears and listened to music while he talked to me.' He said, 'I practice Falun Gong, but because of the pressure from the CCP, I stopped. But I really am grateful that you came.' He invited me to a picnic, and it was a really beautiful experience." Maria's motive to travel to Beijing was noble. "I knew that there was a very small chance that something really bad would happen to me. I knew that the people in China are suffering so much more. If through my experience and my person, I can give them hope that what they do is actually heard and seen outside of China and give them courage, that would be the greatest thing I could do." Her inspiration to make the trip was simple. "I am from Poland. Poland was the first country in the world that abolished communism. We have a pope who said 30 years ago, 'Have faith, have courage, and have faith.' Falun Gong's principles have helped Maria improve her life. Teacher Li Hengzhi gives us a mirror in others so that I can see where I am. I can actually see if I tell the truth, if I am kind and compassionate, and if I'm tolerant." Maria has a message for the Chinese people. "I wanted to thank all the Chinese people for courage, for those who have quit the Chinese Communist Party, and I want to thank all the Chinese people for having such a great culture and bringing it to the world. Please be proud of it and cherish this time because the whole world is looking upon you, what you do, and how you behave. History is right now in front of you, and we all appreciate you."
Adelaide, Australia. Public forum on China's killing of Falun Gong for their organs. A public forum on China's harvesting of organs from living Falun Gong practitioners was held in the University of South Australia in Adelaide on the evening of June 29, 2015. Many attended after seeing a recently aired documentary titled Human Harvest, China's Organ Trafficking on SBS Television in April this year. Canadian human rights attorney David Mattis and John Xiao, the director of the Epoc Times Melbourne branch, were the two main speakers at the forum. David Mattis, new findings on the killing of Falun Gong for their organs. According to Mattis, systematic blood testing and organ examination of detained Falun Gong practitioners has been commonplace from 2001 throughout China. The police, beginning in April 2014, have engaged in forced blood testing of practitioners of Falun Gong not in detention. The practitioners have been arrested in their homes or on the street, taken to local police stations for forced blood tests, and then released, Mattis explained. Italy sets punishment for participating in illegal organ trade. Mattis pointed out developments in other countries on the matter. He stated, the Italian Senate on March 4, 2015, passed a bill which states that any person who trades, sells, or manages illegally trafficked organs from living persons would serve a prison term of 3 to 12 years and pay a hefty fine from 50,000 to 300,000 euros. The bill sets out a punishment for whoever publicly encourages or advertises the selling of organs or transplant tourism. Doctors who promote or assist patients to travel to obtain an organ illegally would face lifetime disqualification for violating medical ethics, Mattis continued. Taiwan bans transplant tourism organs from unknown sources. Regarding Taiwan, Mattis explained, the Taiwan legislature, the Yuan, on June 12, 2015, amended the Human Organ Transplantation Act to prohibit the use of organs from executed prisoners, as well as the sale, purchasing, and brokering of organs. The law bans transplant tourism. Additionally, doctors involved in illegal organ transplants could lose their license. The act further stipulates that patients who get organ transplants overseas must provide legal proof of the source of the organs in order to be eligible for state-funded medical aftercare in Taiwan. The act thus prohibits Taiwanese from receiving organs from unknown sources, clarified Mattis. Australia's response. David Shoebridge, member of the New South Wales Legislative Council, proposed a legislation to Parliament in 2013 to prohibit any person in New South Wales from, number one, entering into a commercial transplant arrangement, two, removing tissue from the body of another person, whether living or deceased, without consent. 3. Consenting to the use of tissue removed from the body of another person, whether living or deceased, for the purpose of its transplantation to the patient if the tissue was removed without consent, and the patient knows or is reckless as to that lack of consent.
Newly released Sichuan practitioner recounts brutal torture in prison. Ms. Tang Tianmin from Luzhou City, Sichuan Province, recently returned home after enduring 3 years of torture in Sichuan Women's Prison. She was sentenced without due process in 2012 for talking to people about the persecution of Falun Gong. While incarcerated for her belief, Ms. Tang witnessed how the communist regime motivated its public security officials, police officers, and guards, and even inmates to abuse Falun Gong practitioners like her. She felt sorry for her tormentors, who were just pawns used by the regime in its campaign to eradicate Falun Gong. In her mind, they are victims of the persecution, too. Ms. Tang said, "I always treated them with compassion and took every opportunity to tell them how wrong the persecution is. Quite a few guards and inmates stopped torturing her. One of them marveled at her kindness and resilience, saying, 'You are truly remarkable for having endured all that you have been through.'" Having recently regained her freedom, Ms. Tong is recounting what she went through following her 2012 arrest, a first step in her effort to bring Jiang to justice. Below is Ms. Tong's personal account. Sentenced to prison without due process. While talking to people about Falun Gong, I was arrested and taken to the county detention center. Several months later, out of the blue, I was told that I would be tried that day. I had no idea that a charge had been filed against me, and I was never given the opportunity to seek legal counsel. In the courtroom, I saw about 20 strangers in uniform sitting in the audience. There was nobody I knew. My family had not been notified of the trial. The prosecutor sped through the indictment. I complained that I couldn't understand what he was saying. I did not get a copy of the indictment prior to the trial and had no idea what the charge was. When the prosecutor called Falun Gong a cult, I immediately objected. Talking to people about my belief and exercising my constitutional right to freedom of speech and religion was described as criminal. None of the six witnesses that the prosecutor called showed up. I had not been informed prior to the trial that by law I had the right to defend myself, nor was I given the opportunity to do so. When the judge announced that I would be sentenced to 3 to 7 years in prison, I declared that I was innocent and had not broken any law. I asked the judges, "How is this a fair trial?" I was handed a verdict more than a month later and learned that I had been sentenced to 3 years in prison. The court official who delivered the paperwork did not mention anything about my right to hire a lawyer or to appeal the sentence. Tortured in Sichuan Women's Prison. I was placed in the number 4 ward. I made up my mind not to cooperate because I did not commit any crime and did not belong in prison. No matter how badly they treated me, I refused to comply with the guards' directives. The guards instigated inmates to torture me in an attempt to transform me and make me give up my belief. They were no amateurs at torturing Falun Gong practitioners. I suffered so much in the first 5 months. The tortures included the following. 1. Sleep deprivation. I was monitored around the clock and deprived of sleep. At night, I was made to stand or sit in the hallway or the stairway and was not allowed to sleep. 2. A straitjacket. Instead of handcuffs, a special garment was used for hanging practitioners up in the prison. It was made of leather and had long sleeves. After putting it on, the victim's arms are raised and the sleeves tied to a bunk bed. The arms start to hurt after just a little while, and severe chest pain is common. To put more pressure on me when I didn't answer roll call, the guards didn't let the rest of the division, more than 200 inmates, sleep. 3. Physical abuse. Beatings were common. According to the prison rules, it is forbidden to physically abuse other inmates. All the inmates should know the rules by heart because they were required to memorize them. Yet they openly broke the rules. An inmate monitoring me once said, "If the prison officials didn't consent to it, nobody would dare to do it." Several inmates once took me to the office and pushed me against a countertop. They separated my legs and kicked me in my private parts. It hurt so bad that I felt as if my bones were broken. They twice grabbed my hair and pushed my head into a big bucket of water. It was the longest few minutes of my life. It was so horrible that I wanted to die. 4. Starvation. I was starved for a month after I got to the prison. I was only given 2 meals a day, maybe 2 ounces of rice with no vegetables whatsoever. My weight dropped from 100 pounds to about 60. I was skin and bones. I had to muster all my strength just to get out of bed and use the bathroom. To protest the mistreatment, I went on a hunger strike, and that eventually ended the starvation. When I was made to work at the workshop, after 5 months, I couldn't even walk. 3 inmates had to carry me to the workshop every day. 5. Blood samples. My blood was drawn quite a few times, ostensibly for a physical exam. Despite my objection, they held me down and took the samples. 6. Tempted with money. A city official once came to talk to me in prison. He told me that the building I lived in was going to be demolished, and that if I wrote a guarantee statement stating that I would never practice Falun Gong again, I would be given a bigger apartment and 25,000 yuan in compensation. I told him I wouldn't write the guarantee statement. I am writing about my experience to bear witness to the relentless persecution of Falun Gong. Thank you for listening to the Minghui Radio Podcast. For more information, including news about the persecution of Falun Gong practitioners in China and experience sharing stories by practitioners around the world, please visit our website at en.minghui.org.